Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Annual Performance Outcome Report session. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Wednesday, February 10th, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Adele Barr. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Tammy, and thank you everyone for joining us today. Hello and welcome to the Annual Performance Outcome Report webinar. During our time together today, we will explore how to successfully complete the Annual Performance Outcome Report, also referred to as the APOR. And this is for the period of January 1st, 2015 through December 31st, 2015. As Tammy indicated, my name is Adele Barr, and I will be leading today's session. So thank you again for joining us. At the conclusion of this training, you will be able to recognize your responsibilities regarding the APOR. You will be able to accurately and completely answer each question on the report before submitting it. And finally, you will be able to complete the questionnaire using SurveyMonkey. This will be our goals and objectives for today's session. Now, every EN is required to provide information each year to the Ticket Program Manager, or TPM, on outcomes it achieved with respect to services it offered to beneficiaries. Some information provided in the Annual Performance Outcome Report is used, along with beneficiary satisfaction data, to actually populate the EN report card. Completing and returning the APOR to the TPM is mandatory for every EN. As per the ENRQ, stated in Part 3, Section 10B, an EN shall provide to the TPM on no less than an annual basis in a format prescribed by the Social Security Administration. Hence, here we have the APOR. The APOR will be sent out to ENs later today, so you will have 30 days to complete it and to submit to the TPM by March 11, 2016. Your EN must only submit one APOR. The TPM will be sending out mass reminders each Monday until the submission deadline. Now, if you know that you have completed and submitted the report, please disregard the weekly emails. It is imperative that your agency's APOR is completed in a timely manner. Failure to do so will constitute a violation of your EN's BPA and could result in the Social Security Administration limiting your agency's ability to assign tickets and to receive payments. Following this training, you will receive an email from ssaenapr@yourtickettowork.com. This email will indicate that you need to begin survey, which is the APOR questionnaire. Now, before you click begin survey, what you would want to do is review the questions included in the APOR. And the questions will be available in the resource documents under the Information Center on our website, yourtickettowork.com. Just a little reminder, make sure that since we're sending out an email from ssaenapr@yourtickettowork.com, that you check your spam. Either add that address or just check that just in case to make sure that that doesn't go into your spam so that you can complete and be in compliance. Now, when you first open the APOR, this is the first page that you will see. The intro page includes instructions for completing the APOR. What we will do is we'll go ahead and review these instructions now. Number one, review the resources for your assistance at www.yourtickettowork.com. That's our website. And you want to go to the Information Center and then to Resource Documents. Number two, please review the 35 APR questions. It is highly recommended that you review the APR questions posted on the website prior to completing the actual APR. Three, you want to prepare your responses. Preparing your responses after your review of the APR questions and prior to entering the actual APR questionnaire will allow you to research and gather the data needed to easily answer the questions on the APR. Number four, complete the APR. Once you have prepared your responses, enter the APR questionnaire as provided by the TPM via SurveyMonkey and record your responses. Number five, submit your responses. Each EN is allowed to submit one complete response. Use the frequently asked questions to assist you as you complete the APR. Now, if you have any questions, what you would want to do is email ssaenapr@yourtickettowork.com, and in the subject line, please write APR assistance. This way we can note this quickly and reply so that you can meet your deadline. Again, that email is ssaenapr@yourtickettowork.com. In your subject line, please write APR assistance. Now, the 35 questions included on the APR are categorized into four sections. The first section is general questions. The next section will be staffing questions. The third section, ticket client related questions. And the final section is EN service related questions. So again, there are 35 questions on the APR falling under four categories. There are 11 general questions. These questions seek information relating to ticket requirements for an employment network. In this section, the EN business model is requested. What we have found in the past from previous responses is some confusion by the term business model and or how to properly respond to the question. So we'll take a look here at number three. We have a traditional EN, and this EN usually provides employment services and other support services directly to the ticket holder. Underneath that is consumer-directed services. This EN reimburses ticket holders for the ticket-related services purchased by the beneficiary. The third option here for business model is employer EN. This is where the EN primarily employs ticket holders for whom it has assigned tickets. And the final model listed here is an administrative EN. These are ENs that serve as the EN of record for a network of service providers who combine their resources to provide services to ticket holders. So hopefully this will help going forward to answer this particular question. And if you're not sure, you can always check your BPA to see what your organization was listed under. Now, in addition to the business model, there are also questions relating to liability insurance, suitability, and the system for award management, which is SAM, the registration for that particular area. So these will be the questions that you'll see under general questions. Now for the next session under staffing questions, there are 9 staffing questions. These questions seek information relating to the staffing at the EN. The number of staff for ticket and verification of SSA security awareness training. So these will be questions all about your staff. There are 5 ticket client related questions, and these questions seek information regarding the ticket client's that the EN serves. For example, information regarding the number of ticket holders working full-time, average wage, and employment training are subjects of some of the questions. So all these will be questions about your ticket holders. Now, in the EN service-related questions, there are 10. These questions seek information regarding services provided by the EN to the beneficiaries at all EN locations. Completing the survey. What you will do is you'll click the Done button to submit the APR to TPM. But prior to hitting Done, please ensure that you have printed each individual page to obtain a record of your responses. You can click the Previous button to go back without losing your responses. Now remember, this needs to be submitted by March 11th to remain in compliance. There are some resources online. You'd want to visit the resources document page under the Information Center to access the APR questions, the FAQs, and today's PowerPoint. Now what we'll do is we'll open up the lines for any questions that you may have. Tammy, if you can help us out with that, please. Thank you again, everyone. Tammy, if you can help us and open up the lines for any questions that there may have. And we do have some. Go ahead.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Pam Walker.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hi, everyone. This is Pam Walker with Alliance Professional Services, and I have a couple of questions. The first one is regarding question 8 under general questions about have you registered with the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs?
Mm-hmm.
For-profit companies are not permitted to register with the OFCCP or be included in the 503 directory.
Right.
And so if we have tried to register, do we mark yes? My concern is if we mark no, someone along the way may think that we are not participating in 503, or it could negatively impact information provided about our organization, you know, at one of the websites or something. So how's the best way for people in that situation to respond to that question?
Hi, Pam. This is LaWanda Hawkins. The only way you can respond, this is a yes or no question, so you will have to answer no. And to briefly address your concerns in regards to the EM profile or if you put no, that shouldn't be a concern. We are well aware of the requirement that you have to be a not-for-profit. So if you mark no for this question, then it's not a gig against your agency, and it won't be something that's negative or viewed as something that you're not participating. I think SSA's goal is to get an idea of how many ENs are actually registered 503. They're not looking to, you know, post any type of negative or, you know, information about an EN in regards to the 503 compliance.
Okay.
Or 503 directory.
Okay. And then my other questions are all related to the ticket client questions. And, you know, we really appreciate the information that's been given through the trainings and the methods completing the APR, you know, which is greatly improved over the year. But NENA and others have expressed concern from year to year because there's no specific direction on how to calculate some of the information requested. And that hasn't changed this year. So because the guidance hasn't been provided about how to calculate the numbers, the methods used and the results reported are going to be different depending on how each EN thinks Social Security wants those numbers calculated. So just as an example, question 21, what is the average number of months between the start of services and the ticket holder obtaining employment? Well, we all know that the APOR responses are supposed to deal with what happened from January through December of 2015, okay? So to answer this question, are we counting all ticket holders working in 2015 regardless of the ticket assignment date, or are we looking only at those who were placed into jobs in 2015? Or are we looking for those who were assigned and placed in 2015? You know, and that applies to question 22 and 25 specifically. And then it's kind of the same thing with number 23 and 24, except the word currently could mean a lot of different things. I mean, that could mean the date we're completing the report, or it could be for those assigned and placed in employment in 2015. Those who were placed into employment at any time in 2015, regardless of assignment date, maybe only those who were working as of December 31, you know, it could mean a lot of different things. And until we get some clarification on what we're supposed to be counting, everybody's going to be doing it differently. So can you give us some guidance on that?
You know what? I think that we we'll add some more detail for those questions because every year we get these questions, and we got them this morning during the morning session as well. And I think that you are right. We need to provide, even though we have these information in FAQ, I think we need to be more specific about what exactly are we looking for as far as the ticket holders, the ones for just 2015 or the ones you currently have. I get it. So we will look at that and make some modifications and shoot it over to SSA for approval, and we'll post those. But to try to address your question, so when we are talking about what is the average number of months between the start of services and the ticket holder obtaining employment, so we all know that start of services means that for each individual ticket holder, start of services is when the IWP was assigned or when you got the ticket assigned. And the average between that average, you know, that start of that IWP or ticket assignment to when the individual got employed. And we are talking about all your ticket holders, not just the ones that you started in 2015, but all your current ticket holders that you are working with and who are working. So that would be a calculation, each individual, you know, average of the time frame for each individual client, and you know, and you do the formula as we have explained on the FAQs. And that would be the same for 23, and how many of your ticket holders are currently working. That pertains to all of your ticket holders that you are currently working with, not just the ones that are signed in 2015. Okay?
That would happen.
And the same with 24. And if known, of 22, what is the average growth? That would be the same as well. All your current ticket holders that you are currently working with, not just the ones that are found in 2015. So I get it. We need to provide some clarifications for ticket client-related questions.
Yeah, and especially currently working, because that can mean the date that I'm filling out the report, or it could mean December 31st or anybody, any time during the year. So, but nothing after 2015, December 2015. So
correct.
That would be helpful, and, you know, hopefully that'll be able to get out to everybody before any of us start making those calculations. So.
Okay. We'll do.
Thank you so much.
Get right on that and post some additions to the FAQs.
Your next question comes from the line of Peter Mead.
Hi, Peter. Hello. How are you today?
Hi, pretty good. Thanks for putting on this training session. And Pam, thank you for asking the very questions I was going to ask regarding details on how to calculate some of the quantitative questions asked about ticket holders. Thank you. Good answers on that. And yes, I agree with Pam. We'll all look forward to that. And after several years in a row of running into these questions, maybe that can become a part of the procedure in the future.
Well, thank you for your participation today, Peter.
Thanks very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Carl Monroe.
Hello, Carl. How are you today?
Hi. Better than I sound, probably. I've got questions about how to count staff, 11 and 12. When you're talking about how many full-time staff work on the ticket program, is that full-time on ticket or full-time here but work part of their time on ticket?
Okay, yeah, we got that question this morning as well. And he's talking this for anybody who didn't understand them, questions 12 and 13, how many full-time staff members do you have, does your EN have working on the ticket program? So the example I gave is if you have, say, 24 full-time employees and 12 of them are part-time, the other 12 are full-time, then your answer is 12, to be 12 and 12. More specifically, how many of your staff members do you have working full-time? A lot of ENs have other services other than ticket to work, so we understand that. But if you consider them a full-time employee that has ticket to work responsibilities, then I would consider them to be full-time workers. If you have part-time employees, meaning they work less than 30 hours a week or 32 hours a week, and they work on ticket, then I would say those are your part-time employees.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's great. And a kind of additional, another twist on the earlier questions about who to count. We have a number of people who we've totally finished billing for. They still work for us. We still provide some support. We're a community rehab provider. And I'm wondering if we should still count those people because we're still keeping them off their benefits, or if we have to stop counting them because, you know, we served them for the 5 years and they're, does that remove them from the list?
Is their ticket still assigned to you?
Well, we finished billing. We're done. There's no ticket anymore, then they wouldn't count.
Okay, then
because they're all done.
No, but congratulations, they would not count
those. That's unfortunate. That's why I thought I'd ask. Because we're still working with them. But
uh-huh.
All right, real good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Dale Thomas.
Good afternoon. I have two questions.
Hi, Dale.
First, question 15, understaffing. The benefits advisor question. Our agency has a benefits advisor who works with people who are not on the ticket program. They may just come in for appeals on the benefits or to get benefits advice. But she does maintain availability to advise people on the ticket program. Would you therefore say that you had a benefits advisor on staff for the ticket program?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Question 18.
Okay.
It is my understanding that I am required to sign and submit a security awareness contractor personnel certification every year.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I scan and email that to?
You scan and email that to enservice@ssa.gov.
ENSERVICE is one word?
Uh-huh, at ssa.gov, and Jenny is going to put that in the chat.
Certainly. Third, this will something that will probably have to be taken offline, but I am still a bit of a luddite about using a cell phone, and I have had some travails because of the switching of the program to cell phone access instead of on the web. Is there someone that I could call and be talked through how to do this without taking time from this chat? A name and number, please.
Let us get your name and number, and then we'll put you in contact with your ENSB representative.
Yes.
So that just be the easiest way.
Yes. Do you want me to give the information now?
Sure.
Gail, G-A-I-L, Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, 562-427-1000, extension 19.
That was 1919?
19, yes, extension 19.
I think, okay. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you, Gail. We'll take care of that for you.
Yes. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Kenesha Humphrey.
Hi.
Hi, Kenesha.
Hi. My question, I was curious, is there a way where, let's just say you're working on the APR report and then you realize that, you know, you need additional information, you probably need to go through the files and dig for it, but is there a way that you can save it and then come back to it, or you just have to fully do the report, or is it better just to fill out the APR sample questions from the Your Ticket to Work website, fill them out, and then just answer everything all at once?
Yep. So the reason we post the hard copy or the APOR questions on the website is so that you can go through those questions and complete them.
Okay.
And, you know, draft your answers so that when you go into the link to complete this APOR and SurveyMonkey, you have all your information right there available for you, and you can just, you know, take care of that in 10 minutes.
Now, are these questions updated from last year, or is it the same questions from last year?
No, they're updated. So these are not the same questions. They've been modified, slightly modified. So you need to use the questions that we posted this year.
Oh, okay. Okay, perfect.
Okay, well, but you can work from, you know, if you have some responses that you know haven't changed from last year, you can work from your last year's responses if you have a copy of those. But these questions for 2015 have been slightly modified.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Stephen Gerke.
Hey, Stephen.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing all right. I'm fighting a cold here, so bear with me.
Okay.
Try to be somewhat coherent. But Pam helped with some of the questions I had, but I did have a couple more. So in terms of, for example, calculating average gross wages, the questionnaire that was sent out said to calculate the average, you will need to know the gross wages, parentheses, earnings before any deductions of each working beneficiary and the number of months that gross wage represents. So I just want that defined a little bit more. My idea from it would be, for example, someone, if they worked, say, 6 months in 2015, their last check at the end of that, their current check of, you know, would be their gross wages for that period of time, and it would be 6 months. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you're right. You're all right on point.
Okay, so if you don't know exactly, for whatever reason, what that number is, but you do know what their gross wage is and you know they're working full time, can you guesstimate?
Oh, yes, you can.
Okay, awesome. And then, let's see, in terms of question number 22, is that strictly people working full-time more than 32 hours a week, or should we forget about the people that are working part-time and figuring the gross wage?
No, that's everybody.
So that's everybody, part-time or full-time. Okay, and then just one last question, number 15, in terms of benefits advisor. I am not certified CVIC or anything like that. I've been doing it a long time. If I get beyond my expertise, I send them to a CVIC. So am I considered to be a benefits advisor based on your definition of what qualifies to be a benefits advisor on my staff, which would be me?
That's a good question. We will have to get a clarification from SSA on that one. But I would say when I think of a benefits advisor, if you're versed in benefits and that's the role you serve, then I would answer yes.
Yeah, it's one of my roles, man. I've been through 3 or 4 day trainings and I've worked with it a long time, but I'm not a certified CBIC or anything. So,
okay.
But I do give them a lot of information. I spend a lot of time giving them that information. So I actually do that role. So I think I could say yes with it, with a proviso.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Again, to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And your next question comes from the line of Linda Patino.
Hi, Linda.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I know this question is in the chat. I posted it in several others. Just a clarification on one of the general questions, number 4. We have our main office, which all of the calls are filtered through that office, and we do see individuals at this location. But we also have two full-time staff at the workforce locations. So with that, it's locations they actually meet with individuals. Would I count 3 or would I count 1 as far as how many locations?
Are these locations you've actually included on your in the BPA, and we have them on the website, all of these locations? You said there's 3 of them?
They're not listed, and the reason that we do that is because I don't want individuals calling every one of those. They'll go through and they'll call. So if we list all 3 of them, they'll be calling all 3, the same individuals, and that causes some confusion and extra work. So I usually just list 1 location. So that's what I want to know. Would I actually, as far as the report goes, put 3 locations, or would I list just 1?
Okay, so at those other locations, you have staff that sits there all day?
Yes.
You have 4 locations.
Okay, so I would actually have 3 locations with those other 2. Okay, but, yeah, like I say, it's not going to be listed on Choose Work site or anything like that. My staff are listed. They're all have the clearance and so forth, but it's just that's some of the things that we need clarified. I know some individuals, they do virtual, not our agency, but with Nina, I know we work with a lot of ENs, and different ones have people working from home or from a location that are virtual. Would they count that location if there's no individuals being met at those locations? They'll meet individuals, different locations.
No, I would not say that's the location.
So they would just need, like, their main office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Okay, that's what we need clarified. That's okay. All I have.
Okay.
That's
it. For the FAQs as well.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Catherine Martin.
Yeah, hi. I hope you all are doing well this afternoon. I have a couple of questions. We were just granted the EN sort of contract at the end of 2015, and we're still in the process of training and have not served anybody thus far. Would we have to do this particular performance outcome for 2015?
Have you gone through the suitability process and actually are able to work the program?
No.
Okay. So, no, you would not be considered an active EN.
Okay, thank you. And I have a few more questions. On number 6, it says, do you have a written partnership agreement, partnership plus agreement with Vocational Rehabilitation? Well, we have a contract with Vocational Rehabilitation, but I don't know what partnership plus agreement means.
Right. So if you don't have a written partnership plus agreement, then you answer no to that one.
Okay. Should we?
I'm sorry?
Should we? Like, what is the advantage of that?
Having a written agreement?
Well, what is partnership plus agreement address?
Let us get your name and number, and we will call you individually because that's a conversation.
Okay.
And we're glad to, give you some information on that. Or you can contact ENSB at enservice@ssa.gov, and your ENSB representative can also give you some information on Partnership Plus. but we'll be glad to take your information so that we can get it started on this one in as well.
Okay. You know, a lot of this is just new to us, and so some of the terminology is new as well.
Right.
So
your newbie in training.
On number 15, this is under staffing questions. For Maximus, Virginia Commonwealth, or Department of Labor, I don't believe we've done any of those, and is that something that is required, and how do we go about finding out, getting registered for those trainings if it's required?
Yes. Okay, so we need your contact information because it sounds like you are a new EN and you haven't gone through your new EN training.
Correct.
Okay, yes. Okay, so let us get your contact information, and we'll get you squared away.
Okay.
What's your name? What's your name?
Catherine Martin. It's Catherine K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone number is area code 904-674-6400.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry, one more time, 904?
674-6400.
I'm actually missing a number. 904-746-400?
904-674-6400.
I appreciate that. I have it now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further audio questions at this time.
Let's check and see if we have any questions in the chat.
We've actually answered all the questions in the chat.
Okay. Great. Well, again, we thank everyone for joining us this afternoon. A reminder, you have 30 days to complete the APOR, making this due on March 11th. And by the close of business today, you should receive your link for the APOR. Thank you again, everyone, and have a great rest of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the session for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.